Hit record and just let it fly, and then we'd say something embarrassing, and then you'd be like, "Alright! Hell gonna just get it out!" You know?
You're more than welcome to say something embarrassing. I mean,
dude, mostly all the stuff I say is embarrassing to someone else. It's just I'm not embarrassed by it. I just don't give a damn. But what else do you think would be a good idea for the Patreon? I was thinking, you know, maybe for like $10, you could like produce a show. You know, tell us what you want us to talk about.
I don't know.
Just Taylor on there.
My idea was if you paid a certain amount, Taylor would call you and leave you a voicemail telling you how stupid you are for giving us money.
I like that idea. Are you an idiot? Why would you give... Do you know what
you know this
things?
Is an effing waste of money?
And then he had, like, a list of things that he could have spent that $20 on that are better.
If they give enough money, you should have them have Taylor call somebody else.
Oh, to cuss them out just at random.
Yeah.
And then we record the call. And then we post it as part of the show. I don't know. I've got to think about it. There's a lot of creative things to do.
And there's some maybe for a certain amount, yeah, you could come do a podcast at their house.
Oh, like MTV used to do back in the day. Remember that? When they'd go hang out at someone's crib for the week? Remember that? Dude, I used to enter that. Like, please, I got a pool and a deck. Come to my crib. But I didn't know anybody.
That's so cool. I have a deck.
I have an above ground pool and a deck. It was a different time. But the thing about, you know, having a patron produce or be on the show, I'm just not sure if I want to hang out with our fans.
Well, first off,
and honestly, I think if they got to know you, they wouldn't want to hang out with you.
Who listens to us is not stable.
Exactly. Anybody who is a fan of the crap we spew is a crazy person.
Is a crazy person.
And I would fear for my safety being around them.
You need to bring a doctor's note with whatever meds, and then we want to see you take them before coming on the show. No, I'm just kidding. I love our fans. They're great. I'm sure they exist.
At least you do.
The logs show people are downloading. That's all I know. Thank you for downloading. That's all I know. What else you guys want to talk about?
Are you recording this? Yes, actually, I am.
There's the embarrassing part. I hate our fans. Screw you, people who love us.
I mean,
a strong
word. A few people that listen to this particular podcast.
If you listen because you hate, awesome. Those are the fans I want. Yeah, the ones that hate us.
We do have some unique individuals as our fan base. So, but that's kind of all of us are unique individuals.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. We're all unique in our own special way. So.
Except for Adam Normal.
Except for me. Yeah. Whatever you say, you bunch of hippies.
Yeah. Larry's beard hair grows a lot faster than my head hair at specific
points. That's saying
points.
Something, too.
I can tell your hair grows really fast. My hair does grow fast. I just cut it 2 years ago, and it's down
so
past
is,
my shoulders
is,
if
is
I actually
Adam
pull
the
it.
Adam the Michael P. Keaton of the group?
Dude. I watched that show. Michael P. Keaton was screwed up in that show. Remember the one where he's on drugs, on amphetamines, because he needed to study hard? And then he was hawking to his
Didn't every show in the 90s do that?
Well, sure. Sure. And that was the 80s, wasn't it? That was the 80s, I think, dude.
Late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, whatever. Like, any show with high school students in that era had amphetamines, diet pills, have to study. It was Jesse from Saved by the Bell.
I don't remember that. I didn't watch Saved by the Bell. I didn't watch
that. And you know what those caffeine diet pills to help her study led to? Showgirls. That's what it led to.
I didn't care for Showgirls. I was expecting a lot harder than what, because they were making a huge deal out of that movie.
That led to the movie she made after Showgirls.
That was great. That was awesome. But Transformers 1986 came out, the movie. It's in HD, remastered, 1080. I watched it today, and I only got 15 minutes in because I was at work. And you can I've noticed already, just in 15 minutes, you can see added stuff that you didn't see before. Very excited.
I'm very excited. It came, supposedly, it's in my mailbox right now.
Well, mine came yesterday, but so did Captain America Civil War, and I was overruled at my house.
Yesterday,
they didn't want to watch an animated movie about plastic toys from the 1980s. They wanted to watch this year's biggest blockbuster.
Oh, sorry.
With them.
Well, yesterday was actually a really big day for geeks as far as DVDs coming out.
Yeah, Godzilla too.
Yeah, Transformers came out, Captain America came out, and Godzilla 1985 came out on DVD for the first time ever in the United States.
Yeah.
So my Transformers didn't come in the mail because UPS sucks, or whoever sucks. So it's apparently in my mailbox right now. So I'm going to watch that when I get home. But I watched Godzilla last night, and, it was
bad, huh?
No.
In a good way.
It was bad in a good way. I mean, I love Godzilla. Godzilla is my favorite. Yeah. But Godzilla 1985 is not the greatest of all the Godzilla movies.
But being bad is what makes it good, in a way.
I know, yeah.
So the worse it is, the better it is.
Sometimes there's reasons why things don't make it to DVD.
True that. But this is the 30th anniversary of that movie, The Transformers.
It is.
The movie. So it's a huge deal.
I'm really excited to watch that.
That's one of the things that I worry for the current batch of films, you know. All this stuff that's shot digitally. You can take a movie shot on film, celluloid, and rescan it at a higher resolution.
Yes, yes.
You can't do that with a digital file.
Yeah, what you have now is what you're going to get forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with,
4K and stuff like that.
Animation. Yeah, so these movies will make it to 4K because a lot of them are mastered in that.
Well, and whatever comes after, too.
A movie shot now,
it's stuck the way it is forever.
Yeah, I mean, they'll never be able to up it beyond 4K.
Never. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So, I mean, and we're not that far away from 4K, but...
In the context of movies and technology and the Transformers movie, it came on VHX.TV, which is a DRM-free website. And you can actually go and download 5 different resolutions of the movie and just have it. DRM-free, do with it what you will.
VHS.TV.
VHX.TV. And you can also stream it from that site in any of these resolutions.
Is that a legal site?
Yes, it's legal. Okay. I got a code with my Steelbook Blu-ray. I got a code. Okay. And typically when you go to these, the codes are Google Play or Vudu.
Yeah, Vudu's the big one.
People on this page in the comments were so mad that it wasn't Vudu or anything like this. And it was just a few years ago where you couldn't get people to put something without DRM, with DRM free. And now a company does it, and they're whining about it. I mean, there were people defending the DRM free.
Well, the funny thing is, because they have to, you know, you being hosted, Vudu's became such a thing, you know.
Yeah.
Where if you're not with one of the partner studios, you know, you have to pay to be on the Vudu service.
Yeah.
Know?
And it certainly is convenient, but... If you ever, end your Vudu account, you get the movies that you got, but you still have to sign into an account. And you can't download it unless you are connected to the internet to play it. You can download some of the stuff from Vudu, but you still have to connect to be able to play it. It still comes with DRM. This is nothing. This is,
here's
an MP4 file. It's 5 gigs for the 1080 resolution. But here you go. And I just think that's amazing. I think that's just... good on them to do that, you know, to offer something like that.
They're betting that the big fans are going to buy the blue. Because even if you already had the 5 gig MP4 file, you'd probably still buy the Steelbook Blu-ray, wouldn't you?
And that's probably what it is. They're not worried about DRM as much as these other companies because, honestly, you can watch Transformers 1986 on YouTube right now. You can watch it on 4 or 5 other, websites. And they don't care. You know, because it's done its job. It's already sold those toys. You know, so.
Right?
It's just interesting. It was an interesting.
Now you can't say that
conversation.
About say a lot of movies, though. I mean, sure, there would be people out there that did that for Civil War or Deadpool or any of the comic
did
book
what?
Movies.
Did what?
even if you gave them a complete high res, download movie file for free, they would still go buy the Blu-ray or whatever.
Sure.
But there's a lot of movies that Now, could you imagine anybody being that obsessed with Fast and the Furious 7 or something? Or?
And I think that's part of it. That's definitely an aspect of it because Transformers is it's a collectible.
Oh, it is definitely
you
a collectible
want it because
movie.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Not because you're going to watch it over and over.
I want the steel case because I want the steel case sitting on my shelf
exactly.
So I can look at it every day. Yeah.
Precisely what I want. I want to look at it every day. I love it. Right. I do. I really like it. It's fun just to look at. I stared at it for like 5 or 10 minutes, literally. And that
does
sound like a long time.
Fold out.
No, it just opens up, right? And you have. It's got a fun cover, and it's steel book. You know, it's a metal, nice, whatever. But you open it up, and it's got, you know, on one side the first face, the Autobot emblem. And on the other side, it's got your disc holders. But under that is the Decepticon emblem. On the back, it's really pretty. It's got just like a silhouette of Unicron's head, you know, pretty tiny, very well done, nice design. The disc labeling is actually, if you've ever seen the movie, they have the Matrix of Leadership. And it's sort of like a ball that contains like a light with two handles on either side. And the round DVD disc is just that ball without the handles. Very well done, you know, beautiful design on there. And that's really why I wanted it, because it's such a well-designed case. But no, it doesn't fold out or anything like that. You know, it's not like a book full of info. What are you looking for here?
Did it transform in there?
I knew that's where Ellie was going. Did it change into an airplane?
No, but the movie transformed my imagination.
It did. It transformed me.
I was saying, they could have easily had it open up. You could have flipped out a little head or something, you know, or arms.
Damn, Larry, you need to be working at Hasbro Entertainment, buddy. Giving them some ideas.
Is that really who put out the movie, Hasbro Entertainment?
No, Shout Factory.
Shout Factory is the distributor, but it's under the new production company that Hasbro has created as part of their Hasbro movie universe thing. It's the same one Combiner Wars is under. It's like Hasbro Studio, Hasbro something.
And yeah, Shout Factory is all about the retro.
So. Oh yeah, they are.
They're so great.
That's all they are.
They're so great, man. You know, they demand from these people, they go to these movie makers who own the rights to these and say, man, people want to watch your shit. Why don't you let us make it?
And they usually jam pack these things with tons of awesome special features.
Well, anything they can find, because they know the fans are going to eat it up. They know they're going to enjoy it, and then they're going to come back for that next one.
Yeah, I have a Zelda from them and a Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
The old '80s cartoon from them. Oh man!
And on both of them had character sketch guides or
neat
costume guides and height and all this, just pages and pages.
Oh, it came with
animation
book.
Guides.
Oh, the
well,
book.
No, a PDF. But
oh, neat.
Yeah.
I don't know if these have any extras on them like that. I haven't been able to do it because of Civil War. Damn it!
Damn Marvel. Why do you ruin everything?
Marvel's and especially Civil War lately. Has just ruined everything for me.
It's been real father against son.
Civil War, the new winter event.
It was a spring event that became a summer event that was part of a fall event that we knew about, and now it's a winter 2017 maybe. It could be next year before that thing ends, man.
So what is the new Marvel titling? Now Marvel or something
Marvel
like
now.
That?
It's Marvel Now.
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Marvel Now!
Super exciting, right?
And it's not about what's on the outside, because that's certainly the big neon sign to try to get you to look. But once you look, there are some pretty compelling titles that they're... Champions looks all right.
The thing that's killing me is there's some titles...
Solo
that
looks cool.
The cover is...
Where's the Marvel previews? Let's do it.
Marvel Now 1, and it's being solicited as... whatever number like 13 or number 7 and
well it's number 1 they're just I think they're trying to suggest that it's just jumping on
this
point.
Is a jumping on point
part of the overall
what's
not relaunch,
getting me
but.
With the Marvel Now is that there's a lot of books on there that I mean, they look interesting with ideas, but they're really just extensions of books that I don't really like going on right now. Like Champions. Champions looks interesting.
Yeah.
But it's an extension of Mark Waid's all new, all different Avengers, which has been, you know, very lackluster.
That Umberto Ramos arc, yeah. I'm on
and
for
then,
3 years.
And then there's, like, the infamous, or what is it? Iron Man. Iron Man with Doctor Doom.
It's infamous
Iron Man. Yeah,
I'm not getting that. That looks
interesting. But it's just an extension of Brian Michael Bendis's Iron Man.
Which it's Alex Maleev, though.
He's been doing international, and it's true. Been crap.
Yeah. Like, Solo looks interesting to me. I think it's Jerry Duggan on that.
Yeah, it's an extension of Deadpool. That looks
fun. Where's the... Yeah, it's an extension of Deadpool. Things do feel like they're coming out. And then there's books that...
So how is that an extension of Deadpool?
Solo just showed up. Well, Solo is part
Mercs
of
the... Mouth.
The Mercs for Money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mercs of the Mouth.
It was Deadpool.
Solo was the person who made Deadpool the most famous person in the Marvel Universe.
Recently?
Like you know how Deadpool became super rich and is funding the Avengers?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Solo dressed up like Deadpool and saved some foreign diplomat on TV on an accident.
All right.
I dressed up as Deadpool, so everybody thought I was Deadpool, and it made him super famous, and everybody loves him now.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I'm not reading Deadpool either. But what else is coming out? Like the Mosaic? I'm just not interested in any Inhumans.
Well, that's because you hate Inhumans.
Get the previews. You are. Larry, the Marvel previews.
You are just biased against Inhumans, period.
I think
because,
that's okay. All right.
But
it is
I will
a
say,
contradiction in terms.
As a person...
For me to be such an X-Men fan and then be racist against the Inhumans.
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Because for a long time...
Occupy Avengers, the new Hawkeye book by David Walker. Definitely getting that.
That could be all
right. David Walker's writing everything. Everything he touches is gold right now. Thanos number one by Jeff Lemire. I'm not getting that.
No, I'm not getting
but
that.
The Unworthy Thor. It's a limited... from Jason Aaron, but it's going to be like one of those
It's still an extension from the Thor run, which is
actually
not a bad thing.
But it's actually getting back to the story before his current Thor
just
run.
Just occupy the title, Occupy Avengers.
Well, this is going to be Hawkeye's going to be a social justice warrior. That's the whole shtick of the book.
He's a social justice warrior
so
that murders people.
It seems like it's trying to cash in on a movement. So it seems just the title makes me think it's going to be gimmicky.
It's a Marvel comic, so it's going to be gimmicky. But the writer's David F. Walker. He's going to be great.
The one thing out of this that I do want the most is this World of Wakanda Black Panther thing.
Well, the creator lineup makes it easily the most diverse creator lineup has ever done a Marvel book.
The Black Panther book, it's so dense and it's very hard to get through, but it's very much intrigues me. It's like Game of Thrones Marvel style.
With Wakandans.
With Wakanda, and... he's creating a world that's super deep and super interesting that we just haven't seen a lot of yet.
Yeah.
And any chance I get to see more of that is great.
Ultimates 2, number 1, is going to be more of the same. I'm going to stay on that. Thunderbolts I jumped off of. I'm not reading any Spider-Man because there are way too many Spider-Man characters. I can't keep
there
up.
Are. But it's not just that. It's also...
Slot's
run needs to end. I mean, it hasn't been bad.
Yeah.
It's been great in certain points, but it's just gone on too long. And I think that's a point that we've labored a lot.
Yeah. Ghost Rider number
one. Ghost Rider's returning. That's something.
Now, I read it before
with Trad
Secret
Moore.
Wars. Yeah, with Trad Moore. Because his art jumps off the page. It exudes speed off the page. You can actually see... it feels like the cars are moving on the panels. It's amazing. So I'm not going to read this if Danilo Beruth is doing it. I'm waiting on a full preview of it. I want to see how the art is. Because that's why you read Ghost Rider. It's for that cool art, dude. It's like Hulk. Hulk's just going to beat the shit out of somebody. That's all he's going to do. You read it for the cool way he does it. Same with Ghost Rider. But Ghost Rider's big right now because he's showing up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Big deal. I read Ghost Racers as part of the Secret Wars
Ghost
deal.
Ghost Racers was
It was
fun.
Decent.
It was fun.
It was okay. It wasn't the best Secret Wars tie-in, but
by no means the worst.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't the worst. But I'm on the fence with that one. Punisher is still good. I'm sort of reading that. Fool Killer. Max Bemis. I just don't get it. Dan Slott doing Silver Surfer. He should just stick with Silver Surfer. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur's been really rated highly. You know, critical.
I'm surprised Taylor jumped off of this book. Because this book looks like it's right up his alley.
He's into those big concept ideas that are, you know, that touch on personal things, you know. I think that's why he liked the Miss Marvel so much, because it was her journey,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you're right, Moon Girl feels kind of that same way, but I haven't been reading it. But that's it, man. I'm not reading anything else at Marvel, dude. I'm just not. Civil War is still, like, Champions. I am sort of excited about Champions.
Champions is a cool concept, because I think one of the big things that the Marvel universe has lacked, that DC's kind of had over it, is DC has sort of these legacy characters. You have, or did before, the New 52.
Uh-huh.
You had sort of the Wally West, the Kyle Rayner. You could see sort of how the universe changes over time and people grow older and stuff. And the Marvel, it's sort of all still around the same time, it feels like. It doesn't feel like people ever move on. And so all of these are sort of legacy characters who...
It's a good point. How old is that? I don't know, though. Because I'm just getting it for that art.
So, and the Secret Wars, Renew Civil Your Vows. War. Secret Wars, Renew Your Vow. Did Mary Jane have spider powers?
I didn't
No,
read
she
it.
Didn't.
I didn't read it.
Because they're apparently they're doing, that's going to be one of the new things, and she has spider powers now.
Great Lakes Avengers.
Everybody has spider powers.
Yeah,
so it's
everybody
okay.
has spider powers now. Great Lakes Avengers.
That looks interesting.
I'm not getting it, though. I'm just not a fan of these sort of comedic sort of things. I want my action adventure without the comedy. If I'm going to get some comedy, I'm actually just going to get a comedy comic. You know?
That's a good point.
Or one with a track record, like Archer and Armstrong. You know what I
Archer
mean?
Archer Armstrong's great.
It is great. It is. New Avengers, Al Ewing, I'm still on. They could put any artist they want on that book. Al Ewing's telling a really good and fun New Avengers story. These actually feel like the... like back when New Avengers was the first New Avengers, you know, when Bendis was doing it,
mm-hmm.
it really didn't feel like the New Avengers.
No.
You know, it just felt like the same old
and
Avengers
it didn't
with a different
feel like,
team.
Didn't feel like the New Avengers when... Hickman was doing it either. It was
no,
just the Illuminati.
Yeah, it just felt like, yeah. This feels like it's a new take on it. The AIM angle, you know, them
definitely is.
Colliding with S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's sort of been a mixed bag for me for the most point.
Some of the writing style I'm put off by.
I'm put off by, but for the most part, it's an alright series, and I definitely don't regret getting it.
That's all I'm reading, man. I almost feel regret because... I think this DC is kicking its ass so hard.
It is.
Solo, I'm going to be on that for a few issues. I just like the idea of the character in the modern age. You know?
Mosaic.
I'm not reading
Jeffrey
Mosaic.
Jeffrey Thorne. Do you know who Jeffrey Thorne is?
I have no idea.
Have you ever heard of him?
I think it's his first thing, his first run-in. Yeah, this is issue 2, so it's not going to do a creator intro. We need last month's. But no, I don't know who he is. I think it's his first book, his first comic book ever. And they're giving him the next big thing for Inhumans. I just don't see it. I feel it's just more promotion. And everyone wants to poop on the X-Men because of the movies. You know, they don't have the movie right. So, oh, they must be pooping on the X-Men. I just don't buy it, man. The X-Men are amazing. They're putting an X-Man on the Champions team. They're doing these things. You know, the X-Men are around. They're not going away. The X-Men Inhuman sort of thing that's coming up is going to be landmark, you know? I think it's going to be their first good event after Secret Wars. You know?
That's not saying much.
I know.
Because the only actual event after Secret Wars has been Civil War II. And the only other crossover I can think of was Assault on Pleasant Hill, and that was
that
shit,
was
too.
That was crap. Oh, God. I forgot all about that Pleasant Hill thing. I did. I totally forgot about it.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Yuck. Man, Doctor Strange month, though. They got a ton of Doctor Strange stuff.
Well, he's getting a second book.
Well, is he getting a book or is it a team book?
It's a team book. It's Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer. But Doctor Strange is what's selling that book.
Well, who all's on that team? I passed that. Who's all on that team? Is it past the X-Men stuff?
It's right here.
Let me see. Here, I'll trade you. You can have mine. It's the same book. It's the same thing. Because Doctor Strange number 14 is out, and whenever this is, November, October, December. No, it's November. For no, book's coming out in November. And that first arc was great. The build-up and then the last days of magic and now the aftermath that came out, that first ish. So good. Well, you know, I really like Jason Aaron's take on that. But I'm not sure who's in this
really
book.
Well, I'm sure the book will get some hype just from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Okay, here, he kind of tells us in the solicits, Doctor Strange, the Ancient One.
Merlin Wiccan.
Merlin Wiccan, Sir Isaac Newton. Now, is this like a Sir Isaac Newton from, like, the...
It looks like it. It looks like him. From, S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, from the S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Or S.H.I.E.L.D., not the show. The comic.
Book.
Yeah.
The Hickman book that was never finished.
I hate that it was never finished. But that looks cool.
Yeah.
And who else? A Ghost Rider from the 1800s.
Who would have thought even 2 years ago that Doctor Strange would have two books that he's headlining?
Well, once they announced the movie, you knew that they were going to do
something. I knew they would do
something.
What?
Yeah. Well, once they put Jason Aaron on the first one, you knew it was going to be successful, you know?
Pretty much.
He's killing it right now. He's so good. I mean, he is just killing it. So, I don't know. I'm still... All right, besides the whole Apocalypse War arc, okay, that buried the X-Men for, what, like 6 weeks.
Everything was good. I haven't liked any of the Extraordinary X-Men.
Extraordinary has been okay. Jeff Lemire is building up to something with magic and her little protege. That feels great.
Here's the conclusion right here.
That feels great.
It feels. It's probably because it was forced, but it feels forced.
Yeah. Because of Age of Apocalypse.
Because of Age of Apocalypse. They forced it into Age of Apocalypse. Because he obviously wanted to write that story way more than Age of Apocalypse.
And I don't think you're reading Uncanny X-Men.
Not anymore. I dropped it.
All right. I dropped it, and then I missed X-Men. I had to go back. So last week I bought like 3 back issues of it, and I'm loving it again. I'm back in it. Monet's brother has like been sucked into her, his essence. Uh-huh. So now she has to feed. And Sabretooth is like offering himself up because of his healing power for him. Oh, it's really interesting. They brought the Hellfire Club into it now, where Magneto and Monet are both members. Like, she's like the White Queen, he's like the Black Bishop or whatever, you know. And some of their goals meet. And they're really trying to push how terrible it is for the X-Men. You know, they've been on the rail, on the edge of the cliff for years, but...
X-Men's been getting the rails for the last...
Yeah. Well, it's the House of M, and that's 10 years. Yeah. You know? More. And then Death of X.
This Death of X looks interesting, because
I'm really excited.
Well, if you look down there, issue 3, Charles Soule writes, and issue 4, Jeff Lemire writes.
But Aaron Cooter's doing all the art.
Aaron Cooter's doing all the art.
That's cool.
But it's very interesting that only one writer is doing one issue, as opposed to them both collaborating on them all.
Well, I think it's going to be, like, a focus. They're going to focus the Inhumans on the Charles Soule book and the X-Men on the Jeff Lemire book.
But it's got to be what it is.
Yeah. But the thing I'm worried about with this editorial, you have to have a strong editorial hand if you're going to have all this crossover with writers. And I'm worried that editorial gets in the way of cool stuff, man.
It does.
They get in the way. But this is a backstory. This goes back before current event. It is weird. Why did we have the Secret Wars skip? When Secret Wars ended, we found our X-Men, the mutants of the Marvel Universe, knee-deep in it, and we had no backstory.
See, we already know where all of this ends up, so...
Why does it matter how we got there?
Yeah.
Is there something we're going to miss that maybe help us to understand where we're at now?
I mean, yeah, I want to know what happened with Cyclops, because they've been teasing it forever.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I know how it's going to end.
Sure.
So what's the point?
Maybe Cyclops isn't dead.
Oh, he's definitely not.
Maybe he's just gone.
He's definitely not dead.
Yeah. And where's Emma? You know, Emma's been missing.
That all new X-Men cover looks terrible.
That's horrible. I'm not sure what the coloring is there on that Beast. It's not Beast the character. It's just some monster, it looks like, from... what the hell is that?
She's the Goblin Queen, so it must be a goblin.
Oh, is it a Goblin Queen? It looks like she's from Limbo. She looks kind of like magic a little
something.
Bit.
I don't know. She doesn't look good, whatever she is.
But yeah, Uncanny X-Men, I'm back on that book, man. And I'm really enjoying the the struggle that, that Psylocke and Magneto are having, you know, the conflict there. And every character is fractured. I love books where there's a team of fractured folks just trying to get by, you know. Like Detective Comics.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Got 3 pages into Detective Comics at work today. I was so mad.
You know who dies?
I know nothing.
You know nothing?
I know nothing. You can spoil it.
Oh, we don't want to spoil it on the podcast.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't spoil
it. I'll spoil it too.
No, don't spoil it. Don't then, because I'll go home and read it right away. And then we'll talk on the internet.
All new Wolverine's been great.
But someone is dying.
Somebody is dying. But, yeah, All New Wolverine's been great. That's probably been my favorite
Marvel
X-book.
Or a Marvel not book or X-book?
X-book, definitely.
Top three.
Top Vision. Three in Marvel. Vision is definitely up there.
Ultimates.
Not lately.
Black Panther?
Not lately. Black Panther needs another arc to flesh out before it's up there.
Yeah.
Thor's definitely been up there.
See, I'm not reading Thor. I know. Yeah, about Evil Ernie. You're reading the new Evil Ernie book that's been coming out, Larry. I thought you were kind of into Evil Ernie. No? Who are you into with a name like that? Something like that. Oh, well. Larry owns a comic shop, doesn't read comics.
Gonna get this enchanted tiki room.
It's like an alcoholic working at a bar. It's weird.
Unbeatable squirrel pool.
Oh, okay. Are they doing that?
That is going to be a thing.
Deadpool too soon.
All right. Marvel has a lot of books that are sort of tongue-in-cheek humorous. Gwenpool, Deadpool, the Squirrel Girl books, that Groot and Rocket book was a little tongue-in-cheek humorous. They're taking this as sort of making it its own sort of subgenre at Marvel. And then they're making that like a sub-universe.
None of that
where Howard the Duck and Gwenpool are the only ones who hang out, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
No, well, none of that stuff really affects the main Marvel universe anyway.
That's my problem
but
with
But everybody from the main Marvel universe.
It's irrelevant. And I'm all for a book being good just for being good. But it makes
me feel
bad.
I will say this. It is really easy when somebody goes, "Where do I start with Deadpool?" I go, "Don't worry about it. Just pick an issue."
It's really
true.
It's really true.
And I can do that with Deadpool and Squirrel Girl. And you can't really do that with the core universe. You're like,
well, there are some books like Guardians of the Galaxy. Start at what was that event? The one with the
Annihilation.
Annihilation Wave. Yeah, the Annihilation. Yeah,
good luck getting that book though.
It's hard to get.
And it's expensive if you do get it.
Yep. Yeah. It's still, you can read it online.
I don't know why they don't print that book more.
I don't know.
Because that's such a good.
But that's where you start with Guardians.
That's where you start with anything cosmic Marvel. For the most part.
If you read the whole event. Because they had ones that had Silver Surfer tie-in. They had
Nova
tie-in. And it had, what's that dude with the hammer from the movie, from the Guardians movie? The Accuser, Ronan.
Oh, Ronan?
Yeah, he's got a hammer, too.
Yeah.
He's on my list of comic book characters with hammers. I'm pretty sure that's a list.
If not, it will be.
It's not really that long of a list.
You'd be surprised. You can find people with hammers. You know, Mickey Mouse is a carpenter in some of this stuff. He's got a hammer.
Oh, so your list is a list of comic book characters who picked up a hammer?
Who picked up a hammer.
Is this on panel, or can they have just reference to using
who maybe
a
at one point held a tool?
Frog Thor, number one.
Yeah, Frog Thor. Is that a book? Is that going to be a book?
What?
Frog Thor?
No.
He held a hammer. Beta Ray Bill. Yeah, it's all going to be Asgardian Thor knockoffs.
Yeah. Team Gray.
What I could do is, well, I think I did do a list of characters who lifted Thor's hammer that weren't Thor. I did do that, and there were DC characters.
Superman did it.
Wonder Woman did it too. I think there were more DC characters that did it than Marvel characters.
They just passed around. This means nothing in our universe.
hey, they're throwing it around. This thing's got good balance. That's cool. I don't know. Star Wars 25. Deadpool Darth Vader 25, right? When's that coming out?
That's a big deal. Darth Vader 25. I think that's
next week.
Isn't that supposed to be the last one?
It is the last one. Props for that creative team to say, "Nah, I'm done. This is all the story I got. Let's just end it."
Didn't they? Didn't the writers say, "Nah, DC's paying me more, and they want me to be exclusive"?
No, I don't think so, Kieran Gillen.
Is that not
Kieran Gillen doesn't write anything on DC,
and I don't think ever has.
Yeah, I don't think he ever has.
See, I was thinking he may have, but part nothing of the, comes to mind.
It's definitely
DC.
Salvador LaRocca has never done anything.
He may have done some covers for DC,
maybe,
but I don't think he's done any interior. He does very little interior to begin with.
He's doing a Venom book right now.
Oh, that's right. Maybe he is getting back into a bit more mainstream, work.
Maybe
he's great on Venom. He's got a fun style for Venom. Salvador LaRocca. Yeah. His Iron Man. I still have it, and it's one of my jewels in my collection. I love it. It's so beautiful, his artwork on that. But yeah, Kieran Gillen's got probably some indie stuff in the works. You know him. He loves doing that stuff. He's a Wicked and Divine guy.
No, I don't think so. Oh, Kieran Gillen, yeah, he's Wicked and Divine.
I think he's got something else in the pipeline.
Yeah,
I think I heard actually.
I'm sure he does. He has to.
Yeah. Well, what else is going on, man? Do we want to talk about Captain America Civil War? It came out on Blu-ray. Have you seen it, Larry?
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, that's what we should talk about.
It's a movie where people do things.
I have a movie where people do things. Blu-ray player. If you let me borrow your Blu-ray, I'll watch
it. Okay, let's talk about that in a different context. In my opinion, one of the greatest, maybe the greatest comic book writers of all time, Alan Moore, announced that he was retiring, and in the interview where he announced that, he also talked a little bit about how, I think the direct quote was that the comic book, in today's comic books and comic movies, are unhealthy, quote-unquote unhealthy escapism. And a lot of people took that out of context, because what he was asking him was about how Alan Moore's legacy defines comics today. Your comic books changed comics. What they did, right? Watchmen, V for Vendetta. A lot of people said at the time, and still say today, that this is when comic books grew up, that he was instrumental in that, with others, Frank Miller. But what he's saying is, no, comic books did not grow up. Those comic books, sure, were about old, they were old, themed for an older audience. But my comic books about superheroes were critical of superheroes. You know what I mean? They were critical of superheroes as a nostalgic sort of thing. Eventually, you've got to be an adult, and superheroes don't work in the adult world. And that's pretty much what Alan Moore was saying. And what they were talking about was the irony in his works being stated as the catalyst for comic books being accepted as an adult medium, when really he was being critical of comic books becoming an adult medium. And that's the same as it is today. He was being critical of current movie audiences being overly nostalgic for things that are totally unrealistic and were created for children. You know what I mean? And a lot of people took it out of context, and all I saw it was is the same dangers he was...
How do you get that out of V for Vendetta?
What do you mean? I think V for Vendetta was a different kind of story. It wasn't like your superheroes and cape story. There was a hero there, but that wasn't the overarching theme.
You could definitely get that in Watchmen.
Yeah, and that's really where what they were leaning on. Well, and Miracle Man. Miracle Man deals a lot with, do they need me? Should I even be here? You know, that sort of thing. You know, I should let them do what they do. And that's the thing about Superman. Why doesn't Superman get involved in nuclear sort of, you know, hassles and things like that? Now he'll just take care of an alien invasion when it comes. We're just as threatened by global extinction by nuclear war as we are by an alien invasion. You know what I mean? And those are the kind of moral questions regarding superheroes that Alan Moore asked throughout all of his writings, really. You know, even Swamp Thing dealt with the morality of having powers, you know, to some point. So, I don't know. But I thought it was interesting that he's finally retiring from comics, and he goes out pretty much the same way he came in. He did work before he got to DC, but when he got there and he did Watchmen, people were like, oh, you changed everything. And of course he's going to be... everyone talks about Alan Moore that he's bitter and hates everything. Of course he does. He was trying to make a statement, a social statement, about the comic book medium and how it has to grow up away from
the superhero, the capes and tights. And it didn't. He helped reinvigorate the capes and tights that were taking a dive, you know, which led to the 90s bust. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's weird. A lot of people weren't getting what he was saying on the internet. Really? I had a heated discussion.
You mean a lot of fanboys weren't,
weren't understanding Alan Moore, yeah.
You mean they didn't listen to his entire argument and probably just listened to the
headline,
looked at the little blurb on the headline?
Yeah. It was very disconcerting for me because I agree with Alan Moore that as much as I love Heroes, it is based on an irrational sense of nostalgia that I still read these books, you know?
Yeah,
and that's okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But now they're making billion-dollar movies based on this instead of making quote-unquote actual art forms in movies. You know, you have to admit the quality of movies has suffered since we've just taken other things and made them movies. To an extent.
Well, whether that's an unhealthy escapism, yeah, that's a different debate altogether.
Well, he didn't mean unhealthy for the consumer.
He meant unhealthy for the industry.
For the industry, yeah.
And I think I can definitely see, because, let's face it, the Marvel movies, while they're not, there hasn't been any bad movies, they're all very much consistent. It's going to be a fun popcorn movie.
Yeah, and that's sort of what he's saying.
With few exceptions, I don't know. For the most part, you can watch and sit and watch the basis of it and get the basis of it, and you're missing like half of it.
Yeah.
You're missing out on enough of it to make it seem like you should be watching everything they do.
Yeah, sure. And I think what Moore was saying was that for the industry, the comic book industry, it's dangerous to have these capes and tights still be the dominating force of the industry. And he's right. If you talk about the best comics, it's not the capes and tights, it's the indie books. The ones that are crime noir or sci-fi or something like that. And that's what he's pointing at. And he's like, that's holding the industry back. This love of comic books that were originally written for teenagers 50 years ago. And that was his statement. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, if you take a real world look at, Superman or Batman or Superman, it'd be in the real world.
It'd be Watchmen.
It'd just be like Dr. Manhattan and Watchmen. Very clearly, people would be like, they don't want him on the other side.
It would kind of be more like Batman versus Superman in the way the public reacted to Superman with that divisive, half of them loved him as a savior. The other one said, get the hell out of here, we'll go home. It would be that, but ramped up to what actually happens in the real world. You know, a presidential nominee got a little bit sick the other week, and, everything exploded. You know, it was a huge deal. And you're talking about...
Did she get pneumonia?
Yes, pneumonia. But you're talking about an alien coming here with godlike powers.
I hear about the pneumonia. But I have heard her doctor's report like 5 times. Donald Trump has put out a statement about his prostate checkup.
That's what I mean, though. Just ramped up.
Way too far.
It would be dissected and looked at and just twisted and spun into so many different directions, you wouldn't know where we would get until we got to Watchmen. And that's where you would end up. Where, no more heroes, you're all out of it. And you know what I mean? But I think that's what he was saying. That these characters cannot exist in the real world. And we should move away from these stories that were originally written for 15-year-old kids.
The reason why I read them is because they're not in the real world.
But he's saying that that's unhealthy because it takes away from other creative aspects in comics that are being held back. I don't know if I agree with him. I don't know if I agree with him, but it's certainly something to examine.
It probably hurts the creative side. But at the end of the day, it's not a creative industry. It's a business. They're there to make money, and nostalgia makes money.
But the guy saying it Alan Moore might be one of the most creative comic book creators of a generation of all time, maybe.
Probably.
Just say, I understand that where he's coming from.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're there to make money. They're not there to make great art.
Right, and for the most part,
but again, that's where Alan Moore's coming from, because he wasn't there to make money.
Oh no, he wasn't, and he's totally right. You know,
although he's a millionaire because of it.
Most of the superhero books, they're not aimed at adults. They're still aimed at teens.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
and almost everything Marvel is teen or teen plus. Same thing with DC.
And my I didn't have a problem with Alan Moore's comments. I thought they were great in the context of Alan Moore was saying them.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But a lot of people were like criticizing for not understanding what was going on, and I think they were missing the point of what he was actually trying to say. And he's always done that. He's always been critical of the industry, and I think that's good to have artists in your industry who are critical of that industry, who can point at it using that medium. And have some good come of it, because there's no denying that good came out of what Alan Moore's done.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's always good to have some sort of dissenting opinion, something to make you look at something a little differently.
Yeah,
you know.
But is Marvel or DC brave enough to do something like that
No.
to crap on themselves?
No,
unless it's a tongue in cheek sort of thing, like Deadpool or something like that.
No, they're
right?
not. They're not going to do that because, I mean, again, they're here to make money. Yeah. Nostalgia sells. I mean, just look at. Your Transformers.
I love it so much.
You bought that $30 steelbook, even though I think you got it for $20.
I did. I got it on a special deal day. With shipping, $20.
But you bought really that, nice. And...
I get it, but that's nostalgia in a different avenue.
I don't know.
Because
it's
the same thing as it was before. I'm not reading the Transformers comic books because they were the same thing they were in the 80s.
That is
Those true. Books did grow up.
They definitely did.
So if the Marvel Comics want to give me something grown up, the same way DC Comics came in with Watchmen, because DC has given some grown up stuff.
In some places they are. I mean, there's no way you can tell me that Hickman's entire run on Avengers is not a grown up story.
It's a great use of the superhero tropes and ideas and twisting them in a different way. But when you boil it down, it's still just a high sci-fi with capes.
Well, that's what all of these are going to end up being. That's just the way it is.
But going back to Watchmen, Watchmen was meant to be a critical examination of the entire superhero genre.
And it was.
And I just don't know if there are books that do that anymore. That critique the genre as...
There are, but...
As a part of the genre itself. As the medium. As a part of the medium.
There are, but you're not going to find them on Marvel or DC. You'll find them, if anywhere, on Image.
Like, Crossed is sort of... It takes the whole, you know, zombie thing to the nth degree. And then takes those socially relevant tropes and then dumps them on you.
Well, and...
You know, and it sort of is a critique of not only society, but of zombie
another,
genre.
Garth Ennis and Alan Moore have both been two, and Simon Spurrier have both been big writers on that series through various parts.
Yeah,
and
Purgatoria is a
there's
new
one
book.
Cross Plus 100,
mm-hmm.
which the zombies aren't the undead zombies. They're more infected disease zombies.
They're homicidal zombies. Rapers. Is what they become in Cross.
But the
crazy homicidal rapers. You can't unsee it. Don't get it if you're
Cross Plus
weak.
100, you know, it talks that eventually they would have to breed, and, you know, so there are Cross that have evolved but are still infected with this overwhelming urge to...
Well, and in the early runs of Cross, they did have people who seemed to be more with it than others. You know, they weren't completely... all the time sadistic. They might have been a little bit more brutal and mean-spirited, but they weren't, you know, they could control it almost, their affliction. You can't unsee that. Don't do it. But I thought it was an interesting Alan Moore sort of deal.
Definitely was.
Anytime I can talk about Alan Moore, I will.
Alan Moore definitely always stirs the pot. That's what he's good at.
Yeah. I'm reading his League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Pretty good. Again. Currently,
I mean, it's good.
Well,
a lot of his
secret,
early stuff is great.
Alan Moore has no love for comic book movies whatsoever.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, he feels that especially for Watchmen. Okay, that's where he's quoted a lot as saying he hated that the Watchmen was turned into a movie. And the reason he did that, the reason he hated it is because he wrote Watchmen specifically to highlight the power of the comic book medium. Like, for example, Rorschach in that book, he's you know, pretty off-centered, but then halfway through the book he gets crazy. He's pushed over the edge. His word balloons change. And that moment when he finds the molester,
yes,
it changes. And then they're always like rattled and edgy, you know, his word balloons. You can't do that in a movie. It's the three panel, three line layout, you know, and the only time that's broken, it's three panels across with three columns, you know, three and three, three rows, three columns, you know, nine panels. And the only time that is broken is during momentous moments, truly important moments in that particular issue or parts of the story. And you can't do that in a movie. You have to use music or something like that. You can't just do it with pen and paper. And that was what he was trying to... There's a great video on YouTube that examines Watchmen. It's like 15 minutes. You should definitely get it. And it goes into that. But, yeah, that's why he was so critical of them making that movie. Because he made it to show you why you should read comics and skip movies. You know? Watchmen was specifically created for the comic book medium. It's like, hey, let's make a Watchmen song. We wouldn't do that. So why make a movie out of
I'm
it?
I'm sure somebody's done that.
I'm sure they had to.
Let me Google this.
I bet it's got banjos in it. I'm just guessing. Let's wrap this, man. I'm going home and eat. Can we wrap, please?
You can't even do an hour podcast?
Has it been up in an hour?
No, it hasn't been an hour.
Well, we'll do final thoughts for 15 minutes.
Well, you haven't let anybody talk for 15 minutes. Jeez.
Well, I get on to Alan Moore, I do tend to ramble.
Yeah, man. I love him so much.
I love him so much.
Maybe stalking him, maybe?
I don't stalk him. I would if he lived in the same country, in the same, you know, if he was close. I would go by his house.
So you're a lazy stalker.
I'm a lazy stalker. But if he was on Twitter or something, I would just ask him silly questions. Like, hey, issue 5, panel, or page 3 of Watchmen, what were you doing with this panel? What'd you think about that? You know, I would do stupid shit like that. Because I've actually...
I bet he would answer, too.
Oh, I bet he would. I love Watchmen so much.
Glad for you to notice. That particular... The way this character was standing is supposed to mean...
Yeah.
The dark shadows of forecasting doom.
Dude, I've actually...
I redrew that panel 186 times.
Dave Gibbons actually is on Twitter, so maybe I should start asking. He'd probably think, I don't know. Ask Alan.
I don't know. Ask
Alan. Alan was so specific. You know,
I just drew the stuff.
But, dude, I've read Watchmen so many times, and I love it so much that I've actually thought about doing an article, a series of articles, a panel by panel review entire series.
But then he remembered he was lazy.
Well, no, that, I remember no one would probably
somebody else has volunteered to do it, dude.
I realized no one else would probably read it, man. Because I'm such a... I mean,
Here's the thing.
I could write 500 words
you
on
can
every
read
panel.
You can write it, and maybe 5 people will read it, or you can not write it, and nobody will ever read it.
I should start doing
You
that.
Should write it. Then send it to Alan Moore.
I'd like to get like 4 or 5 pages ahead. You know, get like like 8 or 9 done, and then start posting like every week.
That'd be the smart thing if you want to do it.
I want to see 100 words on every panel.
Dude, I can easily do 100 words. I can do 100 words in the intro.
Fine, 1,000 words on every panel.
I couldn't do that. And some of them can't be just the panel, you know, because some of it they go together. You know, like... I don't want to talk about it anymore because I could do an entire podcast just about Watchmen and have it be amazing.
But he's not going to do it here.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it here. Man, I love it so much. It's everything that's good about comics you can find in that. I'm serious. It's like watching Gone with the Wind. You know? The way they do everything in that, you know? It's like it's a classic for a reason. Citizen Kane... You know, the reason they tell you to watch it is not because it's such a great movie, even though they are. It's because of the way they were filmed. You know, it's sort of... I know, I'm going to keep going until you stop me. Go, say something. I can go on forever about how great that book is, man.
Oh, nice one, Larry. Knife. He reached for his drink and it just like flew off the table.
Larry's throwing frappes at my comics.
So cool, what else? You guys want to talk about anything else? What other Alan Moore books can we talk about? From Hell? He did From Hell, right?
He did do From Hell.
Oh, man. It's hard for me to get through From Hell.
That is a hard book to get through. It is very dense, first off.
It messes with your mind halfway through. It starts getting to me, and it's like, I don't know if I can read this. Then you have nightmares, and it's like, nope. Done. Have you read that? Man, I can't believe he owns a comic shop, and he hasn't read the classics. If someone asked you, what Alan Moore stuff should I read? Could you point them?
Naturally, have you read The Watchmen? Okay. Yeah,
it's not The Watchmen. It's just Watchmen. But go ahead. It's just a pet peeve.
Hey, who's the comic shop owner?
Yeah, right. It's The Watchmen, because that's what I sell. I sell The Watchmen. You can't get just
The
Watchmen.
The was not in the title. The was from the object. The thing.
Oh, Watchmen. Okay. And The Watchmen is actually the team on there. Just saying. Are we wrapping? I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. I'm
this wasting coming away. From the guy. You are wasting away. You scrawny little... Quick, somebody shove Cheetos down his throat.
I don't even want to. Something just came in my head, but we probably should not talk about it. We should not talk about it. I gagged. It's the first time I ever gagged listening to the radio. Yeah. I'm serious. It's the first time I ever gagged listening to the radio. They're talking about this plus size model in Britain. There's nothing, you know, that's not unusual. It's okay. But her goal is to become the heaviest person on the planet. She wants to gain that weight, which is just absurd. It's ridiculous. But her boyfriend, who's really into it in a fetish sort of way, like makes her these shakes with heavy cream and whole milk and Pop-Tarts.
Heart attack shakes.
And then uses a funnel. Like a goose and foie gras or whatever. You know what they do? They force feed geese.
Yeah.
They were talking about, I was like, what? While I'm driving to work. I was like, mute! NPR! Where's NPR? Let me switch the channel. So yeah, it was
now
not
we're
pretty.
Back with the medical report that Trump, Trump's proctologist.
Oh my God. It's so weird. The things we're fascinated with is...
Are you really fascinated with...
Somebody has to be. It's trending. Maybe it's trending because it's ridiculous.
It's definitely part of it.
I don't know.
Not as much of a part of it as I hope it is, but it's definitely a thing.
Yeah, Marvel definitely is on the downslope right now as far as the book sales.
The store
the shop,
sales here,
DC is... I mean, even with the returnability going away on a lot of it, I'm still ordering a ton more than I was 2 years ago, you know. Rebirth has probably upped my comic book orders. To 20%.
Well, what DC has realized is that there are people out there who like Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and these other characters and want to read them in popular comics.
Or
in good comics.
The Batman. And want to read them in good comics. So they decided to start publishing good comics. I don't think it's
It's a new strategy for books.
It really is. I don't think it's brain science or rocket surgery. A year ago, DC was publishing shit, and Marvel is publishing good stuff. And yeah, I said that properly. Brain science and rocket surgery. Rocket surgery is what Spock and Dr. McCoy did in Undiscovered Country.
Hearing the rap music, that is from somebody
it's outside,
driving by.
Parked by. They actually put in a parking space and left their car running so they could hear their music while they were in the in the dollar store. I can only assume.
I only think
next door.
So there is 20 feet away to the door and then another 20 feet to the car. That they must be death inside that thing. Yeah.
Maybe they.
It's like whenever I can hear somebody's headphones, I'm like,
yeah. Oh yeah, I don't like that.
Are your ears bleeding? Are you okay?
That's like if you see somebody cutting themselves. You know, are you okay?
It's like,
honestly, I feel that way when I hear that. I'm like, dude, you're going to hurt yourself.
It's one thing if I can hear they're playing music, but if I could hear and, like, understand.
If I know what song
it is. That's a good song you're playing right there, yeah.
I can sing along to this. I'm across the room.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had to, like, dude, turn your headphones down. I can hear them. They're overpowering my radio.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
That's great for the party. I know this makes me sound old, but, you know, that just...
No, yeah. And you're doing a good thing, Larry. You're helping them.
But,
at this point, their hearing's gone anyway.
Yeah.
That's why Halloween Comic Fest's going to come up. We're participating in that.
You're doing that Halloween night?
Yeah, so
Halloween
we're doing the... We're getting the little comics to give
I'm
away
try to take
the
like
kiddies.
A three-quarter day that day. Try to
a
get off early.
Three-quarter day?
Yeah. I'm going to come here and get some freebies. I can get them too, right? Do I have to dress up?
Maybe.
I have to wear that Leia costume, yeah, I promised last
year. You've been waiting for that. I've been waiting for you in a gold bikini here. You got the hair for the buns.
I told you. Yeah, right. Dude, I told you I tried it on, and it did not fit well. That's the best part, though, right? It's not supposed to fit well.
No, it's not.
The white robe or the gold bikini?
That's funny. Well, cool. Let's go. All right, my final thought is go to OutrightGeekHere.com. Check us out. Thanks. It's been a long time since I've just done that. Is my final thought. We got a new page up there.
I thought it was you love Alan Moore.
Oh, I've said that already. Yeah. That's my first thought. Every morning I wake up, man, I miss you, Alan. I wish you would write more comics at DC or Marvel. But anyway, yeah, OutrightGeekHere.com. Check us out there. We got all kinds of good stuff: podcasts, news, reviews, comics, movies, TV, all kinds of shit. We got a new store up there where we're selling shirts and stuff. Yeah, I know. Outright Geekery shirt.
And run that through Teespring or
Printful. They're an on-demand sort of printing thing. You know, it's cool.
Yeah,
yeah. That's it. Thanks for checking us out. I appreciate it. We got a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, we do.
What's Adam? You got a final thought? You didn't have shit last week. I was so disappointed. It was like, you got a final thought? Everyone's waiting with bated breath last week.
I'm like, nah.
Nah, not really. That was like one F word for the show.
I do have a final thought.
Oh, yes! We didn't even bring this up.
We didn't even bring this up. And, you know, when I started getting DC Rebirth, I was promised that all the books would be... $2.99.
They're drawing the line.
They were drawing the line at $2.99. Yeah, I have it in
Isn't
my
that
hand.
The new 50.
That was the new 52 slogan.
Yeah.
But I hold in my hand.
They mean it this time.
I hold in my hand an All-Star Batman that is $4.99.
That's a monthly book, though.
It is a monthly book.
Their $3 books are twice a month.
All their other monthly books are $2.99.
That's true.
But then again, it's Scott Snyder, so I guess they got to make that.
And it's JRJR. He demands $1.
Do you like him?
No one likes him, but he demands $1. It's because of his dad. His dad was awesome.
It is because of his dad.
I don't care. But
and the Killer Croc in here looks terrible.
Oh God, the Killer Croc looks like he's wearing like some sort of Dungeons and Dragons.
Looks like
Asian
he's wearing chainmail
armor.
It's like chainmail or something.
It looks really bad.
Ugh.
But you still got a healthy stack of books over there.
Oh, definitely.
Rebirth is so good. New Doom Patrol today?
New Doom Patrol.
We're going to review that.
Looking forward to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can't
sticker
wait.
Sticker cover. I'm wondering how many people are going to peel the sticker off.
I hope everyone does except me. And mine's
well,
worth $1 million.
What's under the sticker?
Is it different for every comic?
I don't know.
Then I'll just wait for the internet to tell me. I'll save mine, dude. Well, what if everyone does that and then no one rips their taco off?
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
I'm sure somebody's going to buy that and just have the taco on their car.
Is that what it is? It's a taco sticker? You can stick it on your car?
It really is a taco sticker. You can stick it wherever you want.
Oh, that sounded freaking offensive.
Where are you sticking your taco
sticker? Stick it wherever you want. Stick that taco wherever you want.
Stick that taco wherever you want. Stick the taco.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's not... I heard that somebody was in here earlier and ripped it off. Travis says somebody ripped it off earlier when he was here. It was like the galaxy under
there.
It was like the galaxy under there, the universe. But it might be different for every book.
Could be.
We have to find out. If you know, send us an email. I bought one. I'm not going to rip it off. I want to keep mine on there. Send us a... send us an email at OutrightGeekery.
You could have the magic wand.
At Gmail. It might say you win $1 million.
It could be like the golden ticket underneath.
Holy shit. Dude, you're what would DC's golden ticket be?
Apparently a taco.
Ben Affleck. Yeah.
It could have a taco drawn under it.
Ben Affleck picks you up in the Batmobile. You guys drive over to Henry Cavill's house and play Nintendo for a few hours.
And then watch them play Punch-Out.
And then Gal Gadot shows up, and you guys play some Catan or something.
Catan.
This is just what I would like to do. You're like, hey, you're with the Justice League. What do you do? You guys want to play Catan?
You're with the Trinity. What's going on?
Dude, that would be so fun. I'd beat Batman's ass in Catan. I would love to say that. Larry, final thought. Shoot.
Shoot.
Shoot. Just the artwork. Let go. Proceed. He does like the Rock eyebrow. Like, he raises one eyebrow, like a disappointing, unapproving, like, curious why you're a dumbass look.
You probably get that look a lot.
Oh, I know it a lot. I know it a lot. Yes.
Or you get it from other people.
Oh, everyone. Most people. So what's up? What?
Well, on the front focus, we do have a new magic set coming out in a couple weeks.
Kindahar.
Kaladesh.
What did I say?
Close. You were
Kandahar.
Close.
Oh, that's a city in Afghanistan. Kandahar.
Kandahar.
I didn't even say it right.
I'm just going to say Kwek, and then something red behind it.
I'm just going to say a cuss sound, and whatever my brain decides to throw out, I'm just going to go with it.
You're slapping the back of the head because I got to do it a while.
Apparently, we have armed forces in Djibouti.
Yeah.
No, because one of our box holders is getting deployed to an army base in Djibouti.
Oh, neat.
So, as hard as that is to stay with the same face,
well, good luck to him and everyone out there serving.
Serving Djibouti.
Yes, serving
Djibouti. We're still pulling his comics for him. He put a down payment. He's like, here, save my comics. I'll get a leave and so many months and come back and pick up some. And
nice. He might be able to read online a little bit, maybe. But
right, he said he will have...
Djibouti has internet.
Yeah. It does. He'll have regular access to the World Wide Web.
That's nice. Good.
At least you can get some online porn in Djibouti.
Yeah.
Would you need it?
Probably not. So what about Kandahar release? Kaladesh.
Kaladesh. So they're doing this new thing that I worry about, where it's they're putting these premium alternate versions. Now that alone doesn't worry me.
Have these been previewed?
Yes,
I've seen these.
Yeah, like, and they did it once before, and they're basically one. You get one of them per approximately four boxes.
So is it different artwork?
Yeah, different artwork.
So it's like a variant
only
card.
Only foil, you know, special art, special foiling process.
But it's not a
new... And it's like a chase thing, you know. And it's not a new about card, chase card. Yeah, it's not a new card. It's a reprint of an old card.
It's a variant card. It's like a variant cover almost.
So it's
that doesn't really damage gameplay, though, right?
It doesn't damage gameplay, but it trashes...
Resell
the value of everything else in there
because it goes up and it doesn't go up very high. Everything else sort of goes down a little bit. That's typically how it goes.
There's only so much value to be had
in the whole
set. Player base.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
this is the way it works. Let's explain it like this: an entire set of Magic cards for, let's say, Kaladesh has a price. So if they add something else into that equation that wasn't in the last
price
equation...
has a value.
That's what I mean. It has a value. That's what I meant. It has a value. The last set also had a value. So if they're adding something to this new set that changes the scope of individual card values...
a high-value thing. It's actually stealing value from everything
else. Like what you said about money in economics. It's sort of basic, but if you add $1,000 bills, you didn't really add $1,000. You just brought every other $1 bill down a penny.
Right.
And it's just... And that's a
and, well, they're a doing very, it deliberately to make the, quote, barrier to entry into standard to kind of trash the secondary single market. Huh. They haven't really came out and said that, but they want standard cards, the newer cards, to be cheaper, thus have less resale value.
So what you're saying...
People can buy singles cheaper.
So what you're saying is
Wizards purposely put this card out to lower the value of all the other cards.
That is, quote, one of the reasons.
So that more people will be attracted to pick up the hobby.
To pick up the standard,
which is all the money new is. Stuff.
Sure.
So that the more people will play standard because they can buy these singles cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the competitive players aren't. I mean, it's a very weird environment because they make Wizards makes their money on box sales. You know, people buying, and so this will work for a while. People will rush out and buy cases and cases
to get these rares.
Yeah. But the question is, how long will that work?
Long enough for the next set to come out.
Well, at least that long. And then, and I'm sure they're just testing the waters here for this. They do that a lot. They experiment with things like this, don't they?
Well, they experimented once, and now they're deciding to do it from every set here forward.
And that could change, though. You know, if
it could.
If things go south. I mean,
it could be dramatically different in a year or two years. And so they're wanting to lower the singles value. But if the singles have no value, are shop owners still going to sell them?
Well, you sort of have to. You're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place because sort of like a crack dealer. They've got you hooked every Friday night, every Saturday night. You got magic going on up here. You make good money from those tournaments. And you get loyalty from the customers. You know, you get a perk from that. So you're kind of hooked. You have to carry their shit if they tell you. Or not tell you, but you still have to carry the items for your players.
See, here's what the last time they did this, I didn't crack any singles for the store.
You just sold cases.
I sold the packs. Because I couldn't, as a store owner, make enough value.
So what you're saying is, as a store owner, at some point during Magic, you would get a box, open the box for the store to see if there was something in there that you could sell single cards. And what you're saying is you won't do that now.
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted everybody to be clear because you're using some jargon.
So
that may not be understood.
What? So
Magic
what would happen?
Is awesome. You should play Magic if you have.
Right. Oh, so as a store owner, so with the distribution being broken, if you opened a case, you were most likely to get the entire set. So you're and then some, like almost two copies of the set.
Oh, okay.
Usually, me and my wife would split a case, and we'd be maybe missing one or two cards from each having a set.
And you could pick those up.
Right. So as a store owner, you open three boxes, six boxes, which is a case, you know, and you have an even distribution. So you know that the average value of the set when it's new is going to be enough to pay for that.
Yes.
But when you're splitting
the single card sales make up for the price of the case.
But having those chases like that takes so much from that. That's not the case unless you open
12. Double. You have to open at least double.
No. You would have to get a balanced distribution, you'd have to open up 80 to 90 boxes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, just think it. Actually, 100 boxes.
Because these rares are so.
Yeah. And then you would get. They're so far spread out, you'd have to open about 100 boxes just to get one of those rares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And you'd have to. So, as far as cracking singles.
Yeah.
It really hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, the little guy.
Well, let's look at it from a different angle. Collecting cards games, right? The collecting cards. They came from baseball cards. Almost. You know, let's go way back, okay? And when you opened those, you were like, oh, yes, I got this rare. So now Wizards.
Baseball cards didn't have a rarity.
Well, they got one that they needed. Oh, I needed this one. You know, they were still laid out sporadically. But now what you're saying is that. It's changed. The hardcore Magic fans will go and buy six cases or six boxes or what the hell ever and have all their cards. Maybe they feel that that's not the way that they want their... They want those hardcore guys to still come in and say, yeah, give me three packs.
Well, now, right? There are definitely going to be casual people who... Because, essentially...
Yeah.
It is a lottery ticket per se, but what they've done is increase the odds, or major odds, that much worse of actually winning anything.
Well, you still win something, and it's all relative inside that that sphere of that particular release. You know what I mean? It's just lower now because of that extra rare card. But are you thinking that... How are the hardcore collectors, the ones that want all the cards in a set, how are they going to buy those extra rares?
They're not going to buy them out of booster packs. They're not going to buy packs to get them.
They're going
to
find them online.
Because it's impossible.
They're going to find them online.
They'll just buy them online.
So you think they're going for the casual gamer, and the casual gamer will be like, oh, I've got this? I mean, because it's not a different card. They're selling these to the collector. Because they're variants.
Well, essentially...
So if you're saying the collectors aren't going to buy product, they're just going to wait for it to go online, what's Wizard's point here? What is their goal?
Because
you're saying that they're almost alienating the consumer and the retailer.
People to open up tons and tons to get these.
And you're saying that's not going to happen.
And dump the extra singles. And it will happen at first, but the question is for how long? So I won't, as the shopkeeper, I'm not going to open any for the store.
Okay.
But there's going to be people like, oh, this is all worthless. I'll buy it off you for nothing.
Okay. Oh, so then you'll
and
have
the singles. I'll buy it for next to nothing.
Well, that sort of saves you money then.
It does.
In a weird way.
In a weird way, yes.
Yeah.
But you don't makes it less profitable. Because I go from where I, say, open a box that I've spent $80 on.
Uh-huh.
And get, you know, $150, $200 worth of rares out of it.
Okay.
Or, you know, rares, commons, uncommons.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm able to sell. Somebody bought a box. They need a couple more uncommons of this and that. But because that person bought a case, he doesn't need anything.
Oh.
He doesn't need a 25-cent common because he's got 12 of them.
And he's just looking for those extra rares.
They're going to sell sets of it. And
yeah.
You know, so I will be able to get it, but there's not going to be a demand.
So is Wizard counting...
Until it moves on, yeah.
Is Wizard counting on you retailers to continue to do what you did? They think you're still going to open boxes looking for these extra rares?
Some will.
That you're going to open up even more? And are those extra rare cards going to cover the cost of opening all those boxes?
And see, and if you open up a whole case to get that one, you can get one that, you know, Star City, who will open hundreds and hundreds of cases.
Just to try to get those rares,
extra rares. They do that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're already selling for $40.
Oh.
So, you can't.
Do you, and then this is still magic, but I want to wrap. I want to go home and eat. Do you, like Kandahar, Candlish, it come out. Do you, like, take a box and, like, put it away? And have, like, a vault? And
there
be, like,
are
in 10
a lot
years,
of collectors that
I'm
going to
sell this, you know? Or I saw a guy open, like, a 5th edition pack, like a box, and he was wearing gloves and shit when he was opening them, you know, online. Do you do something
that
like
wasn't
that?
Wasn't 5th edition.
It was something. He was doing something.
That
I
was
know.
Alpha.
Well,
now,
whatever.
Yeah.
He was opening something. I'm just saying. You do stuff like that? You hold boxes for...
Me
for later sales,
you know,
not personally
I have
for the store.
Now, usually I'll set a case back just so I have it, because when it dries up, then my prices will go up, and I either have to raise my prices or because people will still want it. I have a huge selection of boxes and stuff like that,
old stuff that's out of print,
right? And that's how I keep it in stock. I go ahead and buy it now so I can still have it at a reasonable price.
That makes sense.
When it goes out of print.
Yeah.
You know.
And that helps you out.
Yeah. And that's essentially me buying it for the future.
Yeah.
You know, deliberately, you know.
Yeah.
Not trying to necessarily make money on it, but knowing that I'm not going to be able...
Well, knowing your customers will want it, so you'll have
right.
it.
Right. I mean, it's to keep me having it available. You know, as the service of keeping the product available.
That's definitely one
and
of the...
And be able to, in case there is a run or whatever, because occasionally you'll get people that want to pick up a couple extra boxes, that we always have it, having the backup supply.
And that's one of
know.
The perks of you being, like, a sole proprietor of the store. Because
right.
if it was, like, a chain or something, they'd be like, no, rotate it out. We don't want that shit here no more.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going home. Y'all made me stay too long. 38:30. Talking about magic.
But anyway, you can check us out. OutrightGeekery.com.
Thank you.
ComicCity2.com.
Come in.
Find us all on Facebook. come join our
don't
insane.
Find me on Facebook.
Just search Adam Normal, Facebook.com.
You'd probably find him if you Googled Adam Normal.
Yeah.
Probably.
Or check us out in Madison, Tennessee.
What's up, Maddie?
At Comic City 2.
Awesome. Yeah, this is a great show. I had a good time. Now I'm going home. Thanks for
You had a good time, even though you bitched the last half of it about when to go.